This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
The WRMJ Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a tradition that started way back in 1979 from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Alito. And I think we're just four blocks due south of Darlene Johnson Rhubarb Way in Alito. I was exercising earlier this morning, and I walked that way. That's near Ty Taylor's palatial estate. All right, our holiday edition of Sportsline. So we have Ty Taylor here. He's been busy. I think games every night this week, and two more games today. We have Glenn Cook, and we have Bill Breen with us for our holiday edition of the WRMJ Sportsline. Do you want to speak to the genesis of this, Glenn Cook, when we first started this idea probably about 6 or 7 years ago?
At least that long ago, yeah. No, I don't know. I hope the listeners look forward to this as much as I do. I really do. And then with Coach Breeden here, it's really so much fun with you and now Ty. It is really so much fun to do this program. Yeah.
And Coach Breeden told us off the air that there's at least three listeners from his church congregation that are listening today. So, yeah, what about that, Coach Breeden?
Well, you guys had me do this before, and I look at this every time I come. It's a Christmas present for me and to be here with Glenn.
That way we don't have to pay for anything for you guys, you know.
it's just so much fun. And, Glenn, I thought about it, and I can only think of one coach in an area here, I'm not even sure how big it is, that is either as old or older than the two of us. Who would you think that would be? I can only think of one.
That's a good trivia question. I want to know who this is.
Boy, I don't know who that would be.
You stumped him, yeah!
Moses.
John Elder.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there we go. We should have invited him in, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That, he'll be coming in next year.
Now, that would be historic.
Yeah.
Well, to back up, Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio, Ty brought up the reference of his birthday. It was yesterday, so happy birthday to a great sponsor and a great friend of the station and an alumni of the station as well. Again, a belated happy birthday to Dale Jones, who listens every Saturday morning as well. So, Glenn Cook, we'll begin with you. What do you think about this holiday season?
You know, I can't get it in my head that it's Christmas. I really can't. It's really snuck up on me this year. You know, it's obviously a special time of year, the birth of Christ, and that's why we celebrate Christmas. And all the holiday tournaments. I saw Ty last night over at the Merco Rockridge game, and I don't know. It is a special time of year, and it's fun to enjoy. And like I said at the beginning, it's so much fun, and I really appreciate you guys asking us over. And then to have Coach Breeden here, who's I've said before, if there should be a picture in the dictionary by the word coach, and his picture should be right beside it, because if there is a definition of the word coach, it's Bill Breeden.
And I've heard many other of your former players, Coach Breeden, say that over the years. They may not remember specific games or practices, but they remember the impact that you have had on their lives. Right.
Well, you asked Glenn, about the season. And there you just hit the nail on the head, Jim, because the season is about gifts, blessings, grace, and just gratitude for all the opportunities you had in your life. And I've been truly blessed, really have, to be around the people we're talking about, because it was just Glenn and I were talking before we came in about some teams we had, and he talked about a team he had that was really, really good, but... And then I said, I remember a wrestling team I had that was really, really good, but, and the but was that I always define orneriness by unchanneled energy. And these guys, I could not blink. I could not breathe and close my eyes because something would be happening. And you've heard the old phrase, herding cats. No, these guys were like herding rabid badgers. You just had, but boy, were we good. Boy, were we tough. And Glenn and I were just talking about the competitiveness, and these guys had it. And he was talking about a baseball team that they were just so competitive. And those are the gifts that we've received in the Christmas season, because we got to live that, and that's a gift.
Well, and I was going to say, as you described that, that's the one thing that I love about coaching is each year you have to approach differently because personality and dynamic are so different depending on what type of hand you're dealt, so to speak. And as a coach, you have to figure that out each year. And the way you do that is through, building relationships with these kids. And we talk about it ad nauseum. Kids are always smart enough to realize if you care about them. And if you don't figure that out first, X's and O's never matter.
Agreed.
In the evolution of coaching, one of my favorite stories that I share with coaching all the time, and we can get into this more, I remember that it was about 5 or 6 years ago. It was during the summer, and Brad Dixon was up here. And no, Brad Dixon, Cully Welter, and Pat Lower are probably are 99.9% sure not going to be the next Mercer County head football coach. But anyway, I remember Brad Dixon. I said, what would Brad Dixon of like, maybe it was like 2021, say to Brad Dixon of 1999 or whatever, the first year he was that he coached? And he said Brad Dixon of 2021 would probably fire Brad Dixon of 1999 because, right? I mean, there's the big part of coaching is evolution and development. It's a continuing education, right? I mean, you have to grow and evolve into this position.
That's without a doubt. Kids change. A 16-year-old kid is different than a 17-year-old kid, the same kid. I mean, the kids change from year to year. So like you just said, each year's team is a different team than the year before. I don't care if you've got everybody back, the team changes. Well, I was just talking with Coach Breeden out there before we came in here about myself. I mean, I was at best an average coach. Now, at the end, I was average. At the beginning, I was horrible. And so I went to guys... that I went to Duncan Reed, I went to Donnie Chapel, I went to guys that I respected as coaches and learned from them. And but anyway, go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry.
No, you hit the nail on the head, Glenn. You hit the nail on the head right there. Same thing. When I got out of college, my goal was to be a head football coach. That was my dream. And at ISU, and preparing for that, I actually got, I think, a pretty good dose of football. And then I came out in the real world and started coaching and found out, just like you said, man, I don't know if I know anything or not. Now, I did the same thing. I did the same thing you did. And it wasn't because intelligence or whatever. It just seemed like the right thing to do, and that is seek out some people that you can learn from. And I searched out. And it's interesting, one of the people, I went up, I called this guy up, and I said, can I come and watch you guys practice basketball? Well, I'm a football coach at that time. I'm not a basketball coach, but I asked him, I said, can I come up and watch you guys practice basketball? By all means, and he was very gracious. I went up and watched Duncan Reed coach. And I walked in, and he was very gracious. And I sat down, and I watched him coach. And it wasn't what he said. It wasn't, it was just how he handled things.
His presence.
His presence.
Yeah.
And it was amazing, I thought, yeah.
I did the same with Bob Reed at Augie. I would get off work at the Argus, and I had time to kill, so I'd go over to Augie Stadium. Every night, I'd go there and watch him practice. And it was so much fun to watch. The players would be on the field dressed and waiting, just screwing around, waiting for and the coach would walk out in a ratty old sweatshirt and a whistle around his neck and a stocking cap. And I mean, those kids, you could hear a pin drop. And he didn't blow the whistle, nothing. It was amazing to watch that. And I love, like you just said, Coach, it isn't what sport they're coaching. A great coach, you can learn from a great coach.
Yeah.
I said Vince Lombardi could have coached anything,
right,
and would have been good at it. Maybe not a great at it, but he'd been good at it.
Yeah.
And you know, you would have been good at anything.
You would have been a Hall of Fame basketball coach, Coach Reed. So we had a couple of people check in and say they were listening. So Pat Lower, he texted, he said Bill Breeden is the best, and then he also said Glenn Cook is one of the nicest people he's ever met. So there's a couple of compliments, feed your guy's ego. And then Mercer County Athletic Director Dustin Murray said he's listening on the way to some family stuff this weekend. He said great guys on this morning. So that's something, too, that's a nice thing that you guys are talking about where, you know, learning and developing is like a coach. So maybe some of the biggest pieces of advice you each would have for someone who's just starting getting into coaching to maybe not be, you know, successful X's and O's wise, because like I feel like we've talked about, that's not really the most important thing. First, you got to build the relationships with the kids and everything. So just some of the biggest pieces of advice you have for someone starting out.
Well, many years ago now, well, our coaching staff gave a talk down at the spring clinic, the Football Coaches Association down at the University of Illinois. And we were fortunate enough to speak. And I, of course, was going to talk on defense. And then Coach McCarty said, I would like for you to talk about this too. And I said, oh, okay. Well, then I worked on it. Well, anyway, what he wanted me to talk about was how to be a good assistant coach. And I gave that a lot of thought, and I gave that talk. The IHSA thought it was good, and I went around the state and I gave it four more times. And in that talk, I talked about what does it take to be a good assistant coach, which you could rename that and just say, what does it take to be a good coach? One, you have to have the willingness to learn. Don't think you know anything. Just keep learning. Two, you've got to work hard. You have to work hard. And the old adage back in the day was, well, the head coach in any sport works the hardest. That's not true. As a good assistant coach, you should try to outwork the head coach. And then three, I used to think this was God-given, and if you didn't have it, you didn't have it. But I rethought that over the years. I really think you can learn this if you have a good mentor at the top. And that is, you have to have the ability to be able to have a rapport with your players. That means you have to connect with them. And the main thing with that is, and you said it, Jim, you have to be legit. You have to be real. And they have to know that you really do care about them. And that number three is very important. I've seen guys, I've coached with guys, where they didn't have it. And even when they tried to do it, they didn't have it. And I coached with guys that were very good at it, and you learned from them. And then fourth thing, you, as an assistant coach, you have to be loyal. And you got to be loyal to the program. You can't ever say anything anywhere at any time about a player. You can't say anything anywhere at any time about another coach, the program, anything. You have to be loyal because that's what you got to do. Now, if I was going to give a new guy some advice, that's what I would tell him.
Well, I just reiterate what Coach just said there. Kids don't care what you know as long as they know that you care. And that, to me, that's the very most important thing. obviously a great coach, gets along well with kids and has their respect and so on and so forth and knows the game. But in high school, at least at Rock Ridge, that's my only experiences at Rock Ridge, what your knowledge of the game is not the number one thing. It's down the line a little bit. I think getting the kids to buy into what you're trying to teach. It didn't take me one practice to find out I didn't know a thing about coaching. I thought I did. I'd run baseball my whole life. It's my passion. I love the game, so on and so forth. But it took me one practice to find out I didn't know anything. And, man, that's when I got up. I remember that night I called Gary Bender, and I said, Gary, I need help. So,
Coach Breeden, but you brought up a good point about when you know about the relationship building of the coach and the player. But I know being around Alito for such a long time, there has to be that relationship between head coach and staff.
Oh yeah,
and that's what I always saw with Coach McCarty's staff and also Coach Welter's staff. Is those assistant coaches, as you talk about loyalty, right? And that's important. But they have to know that they're part of the process too, and the coach needs to show them the respect and the appreciation in the relationship. It's the same way with that, right? Because the assistant coaches, they're smart enough to realize, hey, does the head coach really care about me, and does he care about my input and advice? And you knew that from your relationship with Coach McCarty that, hey, this guy truly loves me and he cares about me and he wants me on this staff more than just the X's and O's.
Exactly. Way back when, we got a new football coach, and he came to my house and introduced himself, and we talked for 2 hours. And basically he was trying to find out what I knew and what I didn't know. And when we got finished, he goes, okay, here's what you're going to do on this team and this coaching staff. On defense, I want you to be, you're going to coach the secondary because I know you can handle it, all right? At that time, I know my eyes had to get big, okay, because I didn't know if I was ready for that much responsibility, okay? But he told me, he goes, I have confidence in you. I didn't want to let him down. And I worked, oh my goodness, I worked hard for him. And learned an incredible amount of football. Now you go to Coach McCarty. Oh, go back to the other coach first. We played a team one time that passed the football a lot. And formulating our game plan with the secondary, I wanted to do this. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He says, Bill, wow, you're going to have to convince me. So I went, and he finally agreed to do it. So we played down here. We won the football game. And back in those days, you had sports guys that would actually come down on the field and the newspaper guys and interview you. Came down, and this guy said to the Coach Harris, he goes, I noticed you did some things different tonight. What was with that? He looked around, and he saw me standing. He says, you go over there and ask that guy. It was his idea. What a deal. Mm-hmm. What I'd walk.
How old were you at that time?
Do I have to tell? I was. Let me think for a second. Let's see. I was 26.
So that's when you knew I want to be a coach for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I was 26 years old, and now fast forward to Coach McCarty. He is the head coach. He only pulled rank once. Other than that, it was always a discussion of what we're doing, why we're doing it. And one time he pulled rank, I'll never forget, we're sitting in his house, and he goes, okay, boys, because we had been discussing something. He goes, I'm the head coach, I'm pulling rank, here's what we're going to do. And guess what it was? It was a bus leaving time. it wasn't X's and O's. Now fast forward to Coach Welter, and he did those same things. And his coaching staff, like you said, Jim, his coaching staff, they knew he cared about them. And I mentioned those three guys because they were something.
Yeah, the first one you mentioned, Ray Harris, was the first coach that led Alito. back to the playoffs. But and both of you can respond to this. But what does it mean, though? Like, I always tell people that so the holiday season here, we always talk about, well, they what's the line in It's a Wonderful Life, you're the richest man in Bedford Falls, George Bailey, but it had nothing to do with money. So you mentioned the reference to Pat Lower texted today, and I know other coaches that they're coaching because of the influence or impact of you. So they say, why did you want to become a coach? And maybe they say, well, Coach Breeden. And then 20 years later, they say, hey, coach, yeah? Hey, you come up and speak to my team? So that's when I say you're the richest man of...
Oh, my gosh.
Like the line George Bailey uses. Does that... I mean, what does that mean to you?
I've had the opportunity to do that several times in a couple of different places. And, oh, my gosh, that's just a gift. That's a gift. Is it deserved? I don't know. All I know is it truly is a gift. So when you go do that, you think of what you're going to say and what would be beneficial and how you're going to reach those players. And when I go do that, I talk about the character. I mentioned the character. I mentioned everything about the coach that invited me, because I know that's what he's trying to get across to his players, and I talk about that. And Glenn, I'm going to go back for a minute because something Glenn said, Bob Reed, and two times I was on a search committee for a football coach here, and two times we had a former player or former coach of Bob Reed's apply. And I told the rest of the committee, we're done. We don't need, there's the guy. That's who we're hiring. We didn't hire either one of them, but that was how I felt about it. You know, they've come up through, that's who we should hire right there. But Jim, to finish what you're saying, I'm going to have the opportunity to do that here in, well, not very long. And I've given a lot of thought what I'm going to say. And, well, it's just a gift. It's a blessing.
As far as no one asked me to speak, I have two or three times I've been asked to speak over there, but no one asked me to speak. But I had so much things. Bill, you talked too long. I had so many thoughts there, and I can't think what I was going to say. But to speak to a team and to tell them, I know I talked to a basketball team one time, and Mel Blazer was an assistant coach. Ty's dad was an assistant coach over there then. I can't think of the head coach's name at that time, but they were not playing well, so they asked me to come in and talk to them, and it was, my talk was terrible. This was not one that you'd want to give around the state. So, but anyway.
Just to give an example of that, Jim, many years ago, I went to St. Louis to a wrestling clinic, and I was all fired up. I mean, I was young, and it was a clinic where you dress out, and you actually get on a mat. Well, the featured speaker was Gable.
Oh, wow.
And I was sat in the front row, and there were two guys next to me. One was the head coach at Carlinville, and the other guy was a referee in Illinois. And they were talking while Gable was talking. And I'm sitting next to the one guy, and I kept looking over at them going, what do you do? And then every once in a while, Gable in his talk would look over at those guys. And then finally got to a point, he goes, well, I'm going to need a volunteer to show you a couple things. I want you. And it was one of those guys. He beat them to a stump. But the point I was wanting to make is the room was packed. And it wasn't just because in conjunction with the wrestling, it was a weird combo. It was a wrestling basketball clinic. And all the basketball coaches came to hear Gable speak.
Oh, yeah.
Later that afternoon, they canceled the wrestling clinic for an hour and a half because they knew nobody was going to be there because all the wrestling coaches went down to hear John Wooden talk.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what you were saying, Glenn. And you're right, I have an affliction. I do talk too much. I know.
No. You're the one who needs to be talking. I got to meet John Wooden.
Oh, my gosh.
At Chicago Stadium. And we talked for maybe 5 minutes. It was really neat. And while his team was on the floor warming up.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was neat.
To go back to that, Jim, about giving a talk somewhere to former players or it's just an incredible opportunity because you get to talk about the thing you dearly love. You get to talk about the things that make it so. And it's just such a gift. The biggest sales job I've ever had with a team, you know, you're trying to convince them of the core values that you have. Here's the biggest sales job. I had a wrestling team way back when. And I said, boys, tomorrow, if bring some gear to run outside. We're going to run outside tomorrow. The temperature's supposed to be nice enough. So we ran from the high, as back in the days I did it with them. We ran from the high school downtown here. Biggest sales job I ever had. We went from corner to corner and sang Christmas carols.
Oh.
And that was the biggest sales job. Here I am trying to get these rough and tumble guys, hey, let's appreciate the season, let's appreciate our gifts, mm-hmm. and let's go sing. It backfired. And the reason it backfired, because we did it for quite a while, but it backfired because the next year we came uptown and there were ladies that had heard us, and as we got, they had cookies, they had cake, they had brownies.
For the wrestler.
And it didn't work. It was a bad deal.
You know, Coach, what I did, I brought the baseball team to our house and baked cookies.
Right. You did?
Yeah. Yeah, we baked cookies and took them around to hospitals and fire stations in the area. Awesome. Yeah, that was a fun day. It really was.
Oh, man, that's great.
But I've had former players. There's two in particular. We had a get-together here a few years ago. In fact, you were there, Jim. And two players called me outside by myself and told me, and this is, I get choked up talking about this, but they said that their dad had not treated them well and that I was their dad, that I had changed their life. And that really, one of them's an attorney in Atlanta now.
Wow.
And I mean, to know where he came from, his favorite word was the big F. And can I say it? Well, I was just saying the big F.
Yeah,
okay. We were playing at UT, and I almost said his name. He was pitching.
I knew who it is from that clue.
No, it wasn't Steger.
Okay.
Yeah. and he had glasses on.
Oh my.
And this big hitter for UT came up and hit a line drive. And I got to tell this right. Before the game started, he was in the dugout. F this, F that. And I went in. I just jumped all over him. I said, I'm so sick and tired of you. I said, he's going to pitch that night. I made him run two laps around the ballpark, and he was going to pitch. So the game starts. The three-hitter comes up. He throws the ball. The guy hits a line drive back and hits him here in the forehead. So I know he's dead. He falls face down in the dirt. So I go running out there. And I get there, and he's still face down like this. And his eyes are open, and his eyes are blinking. And I thought, what the heck? And so I said, are you okay? Are you okay? And he says, what the F hit me? And I couldn't help. I just busted out loud and walked back to the dugout. What the F hit me? So anyway, but he called me out and he said, Coach, he said, I just wanted you to know what you meant to me, you know, and I don't have the background at all that you had, Coach, and I wish that's one of my biggest regrets in life because I think I would have been a pretty good baseball coach if I'd had the right training and so on and so forth, because I love the game. It's just such a beautiful game, and I do love the game, and I love kids, and I love kids that – I love high school age kids, because they'll push you. They want to be told no. They want to be told you can't do that. And I had that team that I was talking to you about out there. Man, every kid – I fought with our catcher every practice, every practice. And he's one of my best friends, so –
All right, well, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll get back to more with Coach Cook and Coach Breed. And it's the WRMJ Sportsline Special from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Toledo. We're back with more on WRMJ after this.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? If you need new footwear or it's the perfect gift for someone on your list, 6140 Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks. For just hanging out, Hey Dude, and Birkenstock. And even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. The best gift of all is a 6140 Run gift card. Never worry about getting the wrong shoe or style. 6140 Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. Good to have everyone along. Dale Jones Auctioneer Studio, or WRMJ Holiday Sports Line edition with Coach Bill Breeden, Coach Bill Breeden, and Glenn Cook, Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor here in the WRMJ Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios. All right, this is the one question I had marked down, and this is the one where everybody needs to pay attention and listen to this answer. And it's very important to me. And I learned this from both Coach Breeden and Coach Cook in my career. The question is, and especially for the evolution of two who go from coaching to no longer coaching, but in terms of looking at it through their lens now as how you should watch a game as a fan, and there's a lot of things that you can watch, and it's easy to tell if things are being done the right way or things are being done the wrong way. So this is the key question. What time is it? 9:34:21. This is where the listening audience really needs to listen if you want to kind of see, you know, how you should watch or how you should view a game. And it's more than just watching your grandson play or your son play or your daughter, your granddaughter. So I'll begin with Coach Breeden as you watch a game.
Okay.
If you want to talk football or whatever, as it relates to what's going on the floor, what's going on the sideline, I mean, how do you watch a game?
That's a good question, Jim. And it's something that, you know, over the years I've given a lot of thought. But when you watch a game, when I watch a game, and I don't care I mean, it could be Mercer County, it could be Rockridge, it could be Mercer County playing Rockridge, or a playoff game somewhere. The things I look at, one, I look at the sideline, and I look and see what's going on the sideline. I look to see how the players are interacting with each other. I watch the coaches and how they interact with the players as they come on the field, off the field, or kids aren't even playing. Are they talking to them? Do they pat a kid on the back? What do they do? I watch that. I watch how the players are talking to each other. I watch them as they come off the field, and what do they do? And it tells you a lot about the program. Do they care about each other? The coaches care about them. You can see it all. I swear to goodness, you can see all of that if you watch it. Believe it or not, I watch the managers. And the managers, there's a timeout, and you just see the commitment. You can see the hard work, and you go, it's a program where everybody cares. And watch the pregame, and watch the managers or how they're setting up the field. We were blessed. I was blessed. We never set up the field. Our managers set it up. You know, football's here for this drill, that drill. And I watched the crowd, and I listened to the crowd. And you can kind of get a taste of what's going on because of what the crowd is saying and how they're saying it. And you just look at all that stuff and you can just tell what kind of outfit it is. And I've said this to people before. Please don't say that. Don't say that. I've said that to folks in the stands. And way back in the day, you know, my wife, Debbie, was very calm, if we were wrestling somewhere and heaven forbid one of our fans would boo, my wife would talk to him. Okay. and not in a mean voice, and would tell them, we don't do that. We don't do that here. And she did that for years. Now, as time wore on, didn't have to do it because our fans didn't do it. We didn't do that. So, you know, today as parents watch their own kids play, okay, don't look at the results necessarily. Look at what your kid is doing. Look at how hard they're running or how hard they're working. Watch them. Are they a good sport? Basketball, they go down in a pile. Is your kid the one that runs off real quick? Is your kid that reaches over and grab the kid's hand and help him up? And if he's doing that, you're raising him right. You're doing some good things. And when he comes off the basketball court, if it's basketball, what's his face look like? Can you tell, well, gosh darn it, why am I getting taken out? Or does he pat the guy on the back, the guy that's coming in to replace him? Then when he goes to the bench, how's he interact with his teammates? How's he interact with the coach on his way off or on? And when I go to an event, I watch all of those things because all of those things are taken apart. I had the pleasure of 2 weeks ago, I went up and watched Al Burnett wrestle Wilton up in Iowa. And, Eastern Iowa, it's a big wrestling country. And the gym was packed. Both teams had wrestling cheerleaders. And I thought, good grief, I'm having a flashback.
It's like you're in a time machine.
It's a time machine. And the JV meet, there was one forfeit.
Wow.
The varsity meet, there were no forfeits.
Wow.
And it was hotly contested, and it was just, I was watching the fans, and I haven't had that much fun in a long time. But to answer your question, Jim, just if you're a parent and watching things today, watch everything. But watch your kid and watch for the things that you can be proud of. And don't be overly critical. You know, don't criticize them. Pat them on the back. The coach will take care of anything that needs to be fixed. You pat your kid on the back because that's what they need.
And then for you, Coach Cook, I mean, same thing. Like we were kind of talking about earlier, it feels like no matter what the sport is, like coaching is kind of a similar thing when you talk about, you know, watching kids play or whatever. So for you, when you watch a game, whether it be basketball, football, baseball, softball, what is it you're looking for?
I hope that your listeners were listening to what Coach Breeden just said. That is, he hit the nail right on the head. And I do the same thing. I love to watch assistant coaches, and I've told you this, Jim, especially if a team's getting the lunch handed to them. I like to watch the coaches then. Are they still coaching, or have they given up on the kid? You know, because, and you know, last night was a pretty good example. Coach Seedum coached to the end of that game, and he was getting beat, and he coached to the end of the game. I told him at a timeout, he came over at the table there, and Tim's a different guy, but I told him, I said, one of the things I really like about you, Coach, is your intensity. He's a very intense person, and the players see that in him. But getting back to what your question was, Jim, I couldn't agree more. Are you waiting for a commercial?
No, I'm just listening intently.
Is that watch a coach, and I do. I of course you go to the game, you watch the game too. But I love to watch coaches on the sideline. Now as far as watching the managers, I've never picked up on that. But at Rock Ridge, I used to take care of the field over there, and one of the things I picked up on, because we have a football, we call it the football building. It wasn't built that way, and I've always had a little problem with that. But
that's next week's sports line.
But they call it the football building. So, and that's where all the equipment was for painting the football field. So I'd go down there in the morning, and we've had several different coaches while I was doing this. And I could tell which coach was successful and which coach wasn't by the shape, the condition the football building was in. I mean, if there was stuff, and there was times I'd go down there and there was stuff just scattered all over. Well, our team wasn't successful at that time. But there were other times you'd go down there and that place was spotless and everything was in its place and the team was successful. I know we'd go, and I've seen the same thing on the field. Like you just said, the footballs are here, this and there and this and that. That's the way that good coaches do things. And that's just something that I've picked up on over the years is watch the organization of coach. Now, I'm not an organized person, but I was smart enough. My wife is very organized. I was smart enough to allow her to keep things organized for me and my coaches too. That's another thing a coach needs to do, and I know you did, Coach. You got to trust your coaches and let them do their thing. You can't. And I know this is one of the things I thought when I became the baseball coach at Rock Ridge, I thought I knew everything. And I found out in one practice that I didn't know anything. And so you have to go to people that you can trust and let them do their, and let them coach. And that's one of the hardest things for a know-it-all to do is to let someone else do something that you don't agree with, but that turned out to be correct. So anyway, that's what I do. I love to watch the game, obviously, but I love to watch the sideline, like Coach said. And I hope that everybody heard what Coach had to say there. That was awesome.
And then I've got another question for Coach Breen. I know, like, right now in the Mercer County School District, they're in the process of looking for a new football coach. I'm not about to ask Coach Breen who they should hire, but I know that he touched on it earlier that, you know, he's been a part of, like, some hiring committees for coaches in different sports, you know, not just football specifically, but when you talk about looking for, like, a coach, right, and you're in the process of trying to hire one, for you, I mean, what makes a good committee, a good search? I mean, what do you got? What are some of the things you got to do to try to find someone that's a good fit for the job, you think?
Well, usually on a committee like that, you put people on that committee that they have a certain expertise. You know, this person is on that committee because this is their area. And you have another person, this is their area. Now it overlaps. But I really think you've got to put people on there that this is their specialty. And I think that makes for a good search. The other thing that makes for a good search is that, anybody can look good on paper. And as you're doing that process, you really have to ask the right questions and you've got to get a feel of who that person really is. And That's a tough one. And then if you ask references, okay, who on an application ever puts down a bad reference? You know, they're not going to have a bad reference on there. And but you still talk to them, of course. And but you got to find out very quickly and very easily, why is this person attractive? What is drawing you to that person to make you think that they're going to do a good job for you? And That's it in a nutshell, and it isn't necessarily easy, Ty. It's a hard job. It's a serious job. For example, like right now for us here in Mercer County, we got to get this right. This has to be right, because if we don't get this right, it'll affect us for 8 to 10 years. And some people go, well, that's craziness. No, it'll be several generations. And what I call a generation in a high school is when here's a kid's freshman in his class, gets all the way through and they're done. That's a generation to me. And so you take the kids coming up, well, you've got seniors, you get them on the way down, and but look at those generations you're talking about. And we without blowing horns and so on, we got to get this right. But I think that's what you think about, and that's what you do in a search committee. Get the personalities on there that this is their expertise, and let them do their thing. Glenn, I got a one-liner for what you said a little bit ago about letting your assistant coaches coach. I had a young assistant coach one time, and it was our first meet of the year, and there was a blood timeout. The other guy's nose was bleeding, and I said to my assistant coach, I go, "Well, what do you think we ought to tell our guy?" And he looked at me with deer in the headlights look, and he goes, "Am I supposed to have an opinion?" he just said, "Am I?" And I've never forgotten that, because he just and he ended up he was a great assistant coach, because he worked like devil. He learned, and he was really, and he went on and he was a head coach at another place in a much bigger school than at that time Aledo, much bigger school, and was successful. And he started here of all places, and that was pretty cool.
Coach, to kind of stay with talking a little bit about just your perspective from the adjustment, and Coach Cook can chime in on this too, as it relates to the adjustment period for the school districts as it relates to athletics now. I'm talking about Mercer County. And as it relates to football, and I'm not going to get into this whole, what you're saying is you're disrespecting the LTC. No, I'm not. I'm just saying normally the LTC was a top-heavy conference where there were two or three really good teams, but you knew the five other teams you were playing, you're going to probably walk on the field and win. The track is much more balanced. And with the exception, I would say, this year of Mendota, every other game we played was either a toss-up or we were the slight underdog. So I think that's an adjustment period for all sports, but I think football more than anything. So that really has to be factored in to who this next head coach is, too, because it's a different set of circumstances now, a different set of challenges. And I'm curious, too, and this is a little bit off of maybe just sports in general, and Ty's talked about this, and I always like to hear the lens he's looking at as he travels the track. As it relates to facilities, how does Mercer County's facilities compare to facilities of other track schools?
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be the greatest program ever just because of our facilities. We were great track for years and we had a cinder track, but facilities still do mean something in the equation. Where do you think the facilities rate at in the track in terms of Mercer County? And we're talking a little bit about maybe a building bond referendum coming up in April. I'm not asking for an endorsement of that, but it's something that the school district and the people that have kids in the school district, I think, really have to consider a little bit.
Well, let's go back in time just a little bit. When we switched conferences from the Olympic, to the Lincoln Trail, when you go back in those days in the Olympic, and nothing's changed in those, all the venues that we played in were really, really good. You go to Rockridge and you go to all of them, and everybody, and that's back when Farmington got their new complex right at the end there. I mean, we were playing in some big time places, and not to make fun or belittle, it's, and I'm trying to be funny here, okay? I told some people, I said, well, it's going to be different, okay? Because we're going to go play on some places where the field won't be level, okay? There'll be two, maybe three at most, porta potties. They'll cook 40 hot dogs and 27 pork chops, and it's just going to be different. And it was. And one of my favorite stories of all time. You guys will love this. You'll love this. And I wish it was on tape somewhere. We were going to go down. John and I were going to go down and do radio, South Fulton, maybe. Yeah. I think it was. And John goes, the athletic director down there was beside himself because they had never had a radio station at a game. And he was just off the chart. And we get there, and he met us, very gracious. And he took us over, and I got it all set up for you. You guys, oh, my gosh. And we go over. I'll never forget the look on John Hoshite's face. We go over. We look up. It's a deer stand. And, you know, John plays golf, and he does some things. He's not an outdoor guy.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. He'll admit to that. And there was a deer stand. It was hilarious. Okay, enough of that. Back to what you asked me. Back to what you asked me, Jim. Of course, facilities play a part, and they play a part because you're proud of what you have, and I really think that it affects how you play, and your home advantage, and we have. I mean, okay, let's take baseball, and Glenn will. Let Glenn comment on our facilities, okay? That's his area in baseball. Wrestling, I mean, we've got a building. That's good. I don't understand. We have two home meets, okay? Can we fix that? I'll talk about that in a minute. And then you take basketball. Basketball, our facilities are good, okay? This is an opinion. Okay, we don't have enough. Okay, we don't have enough gym space. And how does that affect our performance? I don't know. You'd have to talk to the basketball coaches about that. And then, of course, I'm prejudiced when it comes to football. Schools our size. I don't know where you can go and watch a better and have a better place to play football than our place. I mean, I know I'm prejudiced, but that field won us some football games. When other teams would come and see cleat marks on that hill as they're going down the game, we won some football games right there. And so our overall facilities, we've got good stuff. There are some areas where I think we just need more. Whew, I hope that doesn't get me in trouble. But I think it plays an important part, Jim. It really does. You go clear back. This because you go clear back when they added on to the school and down where the weight room is now, that was our wrestling room, and we got it. I'll never forget it. It's ours, okay? And we were so proud, so happy. But how many wrestling rooms have two posts in it, you know? Well, we lived with that, and we loved it, okay? And then they moved across the street. You go over there and you look. There's a junior high room. There's a big varsity room. And you go, holy cow. Down in the weight room here, the most we ever had that I can remember, we had 42 wrestlers in there. That was the biggest team we ever had. We had 42 in there at a time. We had to take turns breathing. You know, that it was so tight in there.
Did you say breathing?
Breathing, yeah.
I thought you said something else.
I hope not.
Wow, that's a different program.
And but we've improved. But we're to the point where what else can we do? What else can we do to make our athletes successful? Man, well, and then Glenn can answer about
baseball. Well, I want to to get back to kind of your, because I think it's important to your opinion or your view of how we approach. We're still in an adjustment period with conference affiliation change.
Okay.
Right? And I think most people, because football is the easiest sport to follow because it's 9 Friday nights. Right. So the general fan can stay up to date, you know, basically following that. I mean, what is the we're still in the transition, I think, there from this being the first year and realizing that, hey, this is kind of a different animal where this year we had 8 basically challenging games that kind of hung in the balance, or like I said, maybe we're the slight underdog. So as it relates to a new candidate and approaching that, and even from a school district standpoint or a community standpoint, what are some of the things that you see? How do we compete? I mean, where everybody thinks, you know, this is still a football town. How do we still make it a football town and be at the top half of that league every year? What's it gonna? What if you ask that candidate? I mean, you'd wanna see how that candidate, I guess, answers that question. Right. How do we compete in this league year in and year out?
What I would look for in an answer, Jim, is it still says, I think, in the coaching handbook here, I don't think it's changed, that the head coach is responsible for football throughout the district. Okay? So now let's go back. And I hope that candidate, and this is what I would look for, how do you want our football program structured throughout? Okay? Where do you want it? Okay? What do you want to have? What do you want to offer? All right. Now we've got some flag football stuff going on. We've got some tackle for some young guys. We've got junior high football. What do you want to have? What do you think we ought to have? And since you're the head guy, well, maybe that's what we ought to do. Okay. And I don't know what their footprint would be, but people do it different ways. Okay. For example, at Geneseo, that was the model for years and years and years and years. And you go back, and I talked to Coach Reed about it. What do you want your junior high guys to learn about football and about their program? He had it. Here's what he wanted them to learn, and that was it, okay? And then there's another model, Jim Unruh, okay, from Carthage. They didn't even have junior high football. And his theory on it was, I don't want them to learn any bad habits. I want to teach them my way. That was his theory. that was his way. So our new coach coming in, I'm not so much concerned about what he wants. I'm concerned about, are you going to organize it to make it what you want? And you're right, Jim, without despairing anybody, okay? You move to the track, and the head coaches, okay, the assistant coach, you go to the third coach down. In the LTC, and you go to the third coach down in the track, there's where you're going to see a big difference, okay? The third guy down in that other conference might be a chemistry teacher that's just filling a spot. And then you go to the track, and the third guy down had aspirations to be a head coach himself.
Or was a head coach.
Or was a head coach, okay? There's the difference, okay? And go back in the day. Why were we successful and elite back in the day? One of the reasons was that if we could make it through the Olympic Conference, we were ready. And we learned very quickly, way back, you can play up. You can't play down. And the first people to learn that, quite frankly, were the parochial schools and the Catholics. They knew that. Instead of looking for conferences that they could get in the Chicago area, that might be schools their size or whatever, and I'm going to say one thing, and I'll say the other would be humorous. But they looked for conferences where they were going to have a challenge. And they joined them. Now, they didn't join others. This is the funny part, I hope. Okay, nobody else would let them in.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So they were always playing up. And that was proven out again this year.
Well, yeah, and I think something you were touching on, too, about, like, moving to the Three Rivers, talking about Mercer County specifically, is it's not just football, it's every sport that's a lot better from top to bottom, you know, whether you go from the fall to the winter to the spring. And I think, you know, it's a twofold thing why it's such a good move. One, when you test yourself like that, like you just alluded to, you get better, right? And some of the best programs we cover, that's what they do. Like you talk about Rock Ridge softball, the schedule they play, Rock Ridge boys basketball, the schedule they play, like Sherrard's girls basketball program, you know, just that they test themselves over and over and over. So you get that in the league, but also you get the like local rivalry, right? And I know that's something I've talked about with both of you about that I think is so important. Like that Coach Cook, that Sherrard Rock Ridge boys basketball game a couple weeks ago, which is awesome with the crowd. And you don't get that when you don't play the local schools, right? So I think that's just so important and why I think that Mercer County is such a great fit in the Three Rivers with Rock Ridge, Sherrard, you know, Monmouth, Roseville, Orion, and everybody local.
Can I ask Coach Cook a question?
Go ahead.
And I alluded to it, Glenn. You know, we're in a process of building a new baseball field.
Yeah.
Okay. That's your area, all right?
Okay.
Tell me what you'd tell the people building it. Here's what you do to have a good one.
Make it larger.
I lost two games here on fly balls. And the backstop, when I say larger, not only the outfield fence, the backstop has got to be, it's supposed to be 60 feet from home plate. Yeah. Well, at the old Northside Park there, what was it, maybe 30? If that,
I don't think
where a pass ball, you'd be lucky to score on a pass ball. There should be a penalty if the catcher is not good, or whatever. You should be, you should pay the price on a pass ball. You should be able to score a run. So I hope the park, and I know it will be. I hope the park is decent. I'll be honest with you, I think our park at Rock Ridge now is too big with the restrictions that they have on the. I'm talking about the outfield fence. But the restrictions now that on these new bats, they're not new anymore. Now there's 15 years, but you go to Rock Ridge now, you might see one or two home runs a year. Yeah. Well, that's not right. I'd like to see more, much more than that. And I think we're at least 20 feet too deep. But before Coach,
go ahead. Well, I was gonna. I want to make sure that and. This coaching aspect and as it relates to even the track, but as you talk about, you know, watching games, and I wanted to bring this up earlier, and when you look at hiring a coach and you say, you know, overseeing the whole program, so that's from varsity, JV, you know, heaven forbid if there's ever a freshman team anymore, junior high and youth. But kind of one of the things that I've seen over the years that really, this is kind of a pet peeve of mine that gripes me, and I think that this has to do, too, with some of the declining participation numbers I see in certain sports,
mm-hmm.
not all sports. So you always say making sure everybody feels part of something. Now, a lot of what we've been talking about is as it relates to maybe a varsity competition. But then I see some of the interaction or lack of when you talk about maybe the JV game, the sophomore game, or the freshman game. Is there enough energy and interest by the staff for those non-varsity games? And when you see that there isn't, then you see, well, I know why next year there's less and less kids participating in this said sport or said program. And that's another important thing, Coach, is how are you handling JV games? Because I watch that at a lot of games I go to now specifically and say, hey, how's the head coach involved in the interaction of the JV team? Whether it's football, whether it's boys basketball, girls basketball, whether it's softball or baseball, is the buy-in from the head coach at the lower levels too?
Yeah, I know. I saw a JV game this year. It's a football game. And the team that I was watching, they, in week one, got beat pretty bad in the varsity game. And then the next Monday, they have a JV game. And the head coach leaves in the middle of the third quarter, just leaves the game. And I think that says a lot about where that program was or is and where you need to go. And mind you, the JV team was also getting destroyed too. So to me, if you're the varsity coach, like in that specific example, if you leave in the middle of a JV game, that tells me you're not that invested in the program. So with that, and like my dad said, you're not just the varsity coach. You're the coach for the freshman team. You're the coach for the JV team. You're the coach for the kids in 7th and 8th grade too, right? And that's something that I think is so important that maybe gets lost a little bit nowadays.
Well, you guys are exactly right. I don't know how this started. Yes, I do. Right. I'm not going to say it on air. if you're the head coach, or far as that, I'll even go one step further. If you're the head coach or you're a varsity coach, and there's a JV game, okay? What's the responsibility of the varsity coaches during a JV game? Because I think they should have some, okay? They're not there just to observe. Now, they're not there to make the decisions. Those are the face-off coaches. They make the decisions. What does a varsity coach, a head coach, do during a JV game, in my opinion? Okay, first of all, you hit the nail on the head. They're there,
Okay, that says a lot. Okay, the parents, grandparents up in the stands, and they see the coach leave. What? You know, I mean, I can't.
That's even, what I thought. What in the world is going on?
I can't even hardly comprehend that, because that speaks volumes. Okay, right. Next, what? I can only tell you what we did, and I can tell you why we did it. During a JV game, the coach, the varsity, first of all, we went through and got our varsity practice done. Usually, if it was a home game, our varsity's done, they're gone. And we strongly encourage them to come and watch the JVs. And then during the game, we varsity coaches, we handled players coming on and off the field during the game. We handled anything on the sideline that they needed, whether it was first aid, helmet fixed, or whatever. We took care of all that stuff. That way, the coaches could coach, okay? Mm-hmm. And you guys have heard me say this before. Glenn's heard me say it. And this is just me, my philosophy, but I've always felt this way. In football, okay, a player, and it should be this way in basketball or whatever, in my opinion, but any player coming off the field should be met by a coach, okay? You pat them on the back, you pat their helmet, you pat their head, ruffle their hair up, okay? If you need to communicate, then communicate with them, but you should meet them coming off the field. What does that say? What does that do? It goes back to what we talked about in the beginning, Glenn, because if they come off, and it's a JV game, Ty, and here's a varsity coach, and he puts his arm around you, and he says, son, hey, on that play, you made great depth on that play, but remember, don't get any deeper than the heels of the offensive lineman so you don't get trapped. And let's say he probably just got trapped,
right.
Okay? But you come off and you remind him, hey, son, you made great penetration. Stop there, okay? Well, you care. And it's not a fake care. You care, and you're trying to communicate with him. And during a JV game, you go back to the way we did it, which doesn't necessarily mean it's the right way. It's just what we did. The varsity coaches, if it was JV game and it was home, we were going to be there. It was expected you're there. And you don't leave in the middle.
Right.
Okay?
Well, yeah.
And then if it's an away game, if it's feasible, okay, we went to the away games.
And that's the next thing I would say. That day, the team that they were playing, their head coach, who's been doing it for 25 years, and he was there on the sideline for the whole game coaching.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, and there were some times when we went to JV games away from here, and it's a good thing there weren't any police on the road,
right?
You know, because we drove like whatever to get there.
And I think that coach that Ty's referring to played for Coach Breeden.
Yes, he did.
The 25-year coach. And that's the thing, too, where by doing that, it generates the interest in the program for the kids to stay around. Because if they're having a tear, especially a football, which is a numbers game, if they have the one thing that always makes me a little bit angry when I hear from some coaches, they say, well, why are the numbers, why aren't these kids going on? Well, why aren't they playing anymore? Well, did you provide the necessary means for them to buy into the program? So if you're leaving and they're a freshman or a sophomore and they see that you're not at the JV game or you're leaving and they're smart enough again to realize that, hey, there's the head coach, he's leaving. He doesn't care about us. Why do I want to be a part of this program? That's the answer. Why exactly. Kids don't play.
Before we're done here, I don't know how much longer we've got, but I've got
to. We need to take one more commercial break. So
you want to do it?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. We'll do it after this thought.
I'm going to say something that I probably shouldn't go back over to Rockridge because I'm not going to be well received over there. Last night at the boys' game, softball had a open gym during the game. Okay, at a girls' basketball game the other night, softball had an open gym. That should not happen. That tells you right there how important, in softball's mind, basketball is. Softball doesn't think basketball is important. I don't care about gym space. They're going to have to work out something else. This is freaking off season.
Well, and that's the one That's the one thing we, and you know, that's a whole nother show, but it's the truth. We have not figured out how to handle off-season sports as it relates to in-season sports. Nobody has the answer on how to handle that, because the argument is always, I'm only doing it for the kids who don't play. Well, would those kids play if you didn't offer, you know, the off-season open gyms in that said sport?
But
yeah, go ahead.
No, in years past, we took care of it. There were years here when we took care of that, Glenn. We took care of it. We didn't have that problem.
Okay? Yeah, it can happen.
And here's what we did. With me, here's what we did. And we both might have to move.
Yeah. I'm going to Rock Island, and then I'm going to Chicago. So,
but Jim, we didn't have that problem because the athletic director says you don't do it. You don't do it because you're infringing on other people's seasons. Okay,
that tells me that that they don't care about that other sport.
You can't do it. You can't do it. And here's what, give you an example, okay? The wrestlers, we used to go to the basketball games, the home games, had our own cheering section, and it was my job to get them to root and cheer on the field on the basketball court and keep them in line, because it was their opportunity to go crazy, okay? But, I mean, we wore hard hats. We had certain cheers. We had certain things we said, and we were backing the other team. Okay? I'm going to say it. You can't have open gyms. Now, that's a pretty darn strong statement in this day and age.
Oh, I know.
Okay? But you can't do it. You can't do it because you're infringing on somebody else. You can't do it. And we there are things going on during the football season. There's things going on during the wrestling basket. And it's just, it's craziness.
To back up, that's not the only school that's happened in.
No.
I just want to make sure. I'm just saying that what Coach Breeden says is, you know, is there, you know, not allowing open gyms. The harsh reality is I don't ever see that happening. Should it? I don't know. But just the genie's out of the bottle with travel club sports and sports being year-round.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that sport is, because, you know, it's not you're not a multi-sport athlete anymore. You're a multi-season athlete where you're playing that single sport, but you're playing it for 9 months instead of 3 months.
Jim, why do kids go out for sports? Okay, you know, I started coaching in 1906, and you know, it never changes. It never changes the reason.
That's when my mom was born.
One, they like it. Two, they're good at it. Notice I put good at it second. Okay, three, their friends are doing it. Four, they want to belong to something. So, and five, maybe they want to belong to something that is successful. Mm-hmm. Okay, those things have never changed. They've never changed. So when you say, why are numbers less? Okay, we just talked about one of the ingredients of why numbers are less. And here's the thing, we can do something about it. Now, those people, I'm gonna say something even stronger.
Oh, gosh.
Those people that think that they go to some of that other stuff, Jim, that you mentioned, okay, they're kidding themselves. Really are. That's another program.
All right.
I'm sorry, Ty.
No, you're good. We'll just take a quick commercial break. Come back with more on the WRMJ Sportsline Holiday Special with Glenn Cook and Bill Breen. We're in the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios on WRMJ. More coming up next.
If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale Jones of Merritt Auctions. The Merritt Auctions team have over 100 years of combined experience in auctions and real estate to help you gain full exposure to the market and achieve maximum return on your assets. Merritt Auctions specializes in live auctions, timed online-only auctions, and virtual online auctions. For a no-obligation consultation to sell your land or machinery, call Dale Jones today.
$15.29 by the buy. Here.
Hi, I'm Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. Give me a call at 309-299-6400.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Who doesn't love new kicks? If you need new footwear or it's the perfect gift for someone on your list, 614 Zero Run has just the right fit. Check out their quality brands for fitness, Hoka, Saucony, Mizuno, and Brooks, for just hanging out, Hey Dude, and Birkenstock, and even for work, Red Wing and Wolverine. The best gift of all is a 614 Zero Run gift card. Never worry about getting the wrong shoe or style. 614 Zero Run, 185 Main Street in Galesburg.
All right, Dale Jones, Auctioneer Studio on a Saturday morning, the WMJ Sportsline Holiday Edition that has went off the rails. No, just kidding. I can we change? We can bring up some
yes,
more comments.
Let's change the subject.
But so, like, maybe the direction can be now, like, what brings us joy since we're in the holiday spirit. So I was thinking about it today when I was coming in. So, like, what I reflect about, like, What do you enjoy about doing interscholastic athletics? Well, it's the youthful for me. One, it's like youthful exuberance. I want the local teams that I cover to win and have success, because we're homers at this radio station, and we're part of the greater community, as I like to say. But so, like, I do Rock Ridge football games during the regular season, and so. Couple things I like going and seeing all my regular friends that are there. If I cross paths with Tom Hassan or Glenn Cook or Katie Hassan or Mr. Boehner, or, you know, interacting with Coach Graves and Coach Smith, and especially Coach Henry, love to walk down the hallway and watch him teach Coach Henry. Yeah. So, and then the other thing that I love is Keith Bogner, his stat crew, bunch of young kids that are like youngsters that do stats, and they provide the stats to us, and they always come up and give us the stats at halftime and at the end of the game, and just, you know, happy to be there, great joy. So those are like my, like, the Friday night, that's what I love, just still being a part of that, and that's what makes the job more enjoyable, that just being part of that interaction. And then I always tell people, for me too, about interscholastic athletics, and this is kind of like from a coaching standpoint, where I think the finality of a season, when it's over, you've been there all season long, right, and you see kind of the final huddle on the field. So I'm thinking from my Rock Ridge experience this year, like when Coach Graves, you know, they and the coaching staff, they gather the seniors around, and you see some of those, like, kids that would do anything, you know, to play one more down. So, example, like Jude Finch, he would do anything. And Coach Graves said that. What is the line? He says, if I'm in a dark alley and I get in a street fight, the dude I want is the 135-pound nose guard next to me, Jude Finch. Right. And I'm like, amen. But you see, they would do, you know, like Landon Bull and Landon Wheatley and those kids that played on the football team, that you're like, man, I'm glad I got to participate in some of this year and be just a small part of that. So that's the joy for me in doing this, you know, every week still on interscholastic athletics. That's for me. So that's how I'll segue into you, Coach Cook.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I'm really going to go off like a shotgun here. You mentioned Landon Bull and Landon Wheatley. I feel so bad for those kids, because this is my opinion, nobody else's opinion but mine. I don't know how far this team can go because of their lack of depth. And I watched Landon Bull, every game, he leaves it all on the floor. I mean, he he's going to be so hard. You can't replace him. I don't know what they're going to do next year without him. But having said that, there were several boys that didn't go out this year that would really help this team. And so the ones I feel the sorriest for are Landon Wheatley, Landon Bull, Caleb Cunico, and the Lehman's boy. I feel so bad for them because this is their senior year, and they look forward to this year because they were going to be really off the charts good this year, and now they're still good, but they're not going to be where I think they could have been. And I've got a quick story to tell, okay? This is way off the charts.
It's kind of the theme, right? So go ahead.
Yeah. But it has to do with believing in something, okay? When I was 8 years old, I believed Superman could fly. This is a true story. And this shows you how ignorant that I was as I am now, but as an eight-year-old, I was off the chart. So one day, my mom was going shopping in Rock Island. So I said, Mom, would you pick me up a Superman's cape? Because I knew if I could get me a Superman's cape, I could fly.
Uh-oh.
So she goes to town. She comes home. I run up to her. Did you get my cape? No, they didn't have any cape, but I did get you a Superman sweatshirt. So they had a red sweatshirt with a big S on it, you know. So I thought, oh, that'll work. So I went over next door, and I got Denny and Daryl Bush. You know the Bush boys? They're great guys. I get them to come over to the house to watch me. So I get up on our garage. I get a ladder out, climb up on our garage. It has a sloping roof in back. The thing that makes me feel so bad is I remember doing this. So I was old enough to know better. But I swear I thought Superman could fly.
Yeah.
So I get up on this roof. Denny and Daryl are sitting on the ground watching me. I get up there. I yell, up, up, and away. I go running down this garage, jump out like that, and hit the ground like a bag of wet cement, knock the wind out of myself, and I'm laying there on the ground. And Denny and Daryl just looked at me and shook their heads and went home. It doesn't have a punchline, but that's a true story about believing in something. So... Anyway.
I knew exactly where that story was going to go right when you started it. I've never heard that one before. I think one of my favorite stories you've ever told, Coach Cook, it was on a softball broadcast one time. You ran out of gas twice in the same day.
Yeah.
Now to get pushed
at a gas station
by Augie twice.
Yeah.
Right.
I had to get pushed into Augie's gas station.
I've heard that story, but I've heard that story from another person's viewpoint.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Jim, what you said there, just watching the players grow up, to me was such a treat. For example, this was not my idea, but it was a great idea. The wrestlers wanted to draw names and give presents to each other. And I thought, now that's really a good deal. You know, let's do that. So in our discussion of how we were going to do it, another wrestler came up with this. And he said this is just as heartfelt as he could put it. He goes, fellas, coach, we're all blessed. We've got everything we need. Let's get those presents and let's go give them to the needy. Holy moly. You know, how mature is that? How giving is that? And I'll never forget that. And we did. We took them and we gave them away. And it was so remarkable, you know, that they wanted to do that. Yeah.
So we get the observation from Glenn Cook and Bill Breeden. What about for Ty, who's kind of new at this experience, what are some of the reflections for you doing this job so far?
Well, it's just fun. I mean, like, that's the thing, like you guys were saying, it's just fun to be around kids. And I know, like, I'm, you know, a little younger than I guess everybody else in this room, but it just is really exciting for me just to, like you were talking about, you see kids grow up, right, from, like, freshman to sophomore to junior, senior. Like, I think this is the fourth year, like, I've been doing this. And so, like, you know, like you talk about, like, Landon Wheatley and Landon Bull and those guys over at Rock Ridge who have been so successful and, you know, football, basketball, it just is cool to see their kind of maturation process. And with that, it's more than just the result on the field, right? You get to know the kids and their families. And that's really the fun part about it, is you get to meet all these people who you really wouldn't have met otherwise. Like, and I just think so highly of those kids and their families too. They're all such great people. And that's the biggest thing, is I've met so many people through this already that I probably wouldn't have met otherwise, that are really cool people that I've got to build a relationship with, which is really cool. So I guess that's my number one thing. It's a very holiday themed answer, I guess, right?
Yeah. No, they, I've been asked this many times. In fact, last night I went out to get to this restaurant and I got an order to go. And I go over by the door and this guy goes, "Hey, coach." I turn around and it's a guy that played for me a long time ago. And he's sitting there with two other people. And he goes, "I remember a story that you told me one time. And I told these guys that story and they don't believe me." And I said, "Oh my gosh, what was that?" And he said, and I just started laughing. I said, "Okay." And one of the guys that I didn't even know, this guy, and he goes, "Coach, how can you have so many stories?" And I said, "Well, there would be 5, 6, 7, 8, sometimes more, but 5, 6, 7, 8 things that happen during the season that are just memorable." You know, mm-hmm. And now you multiply that times the number of years I coached.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stories. Yeah. You know.
Well, so I want to share just a, you know, about like relationship building and like the holidays and getting to know people and friendship and love and appreciation, right? Because sometimes we're afraid to say that, being like the male population. But I'll never forget the 1 year I went to Mercer County, was playing Clifton Central. And so the team I was covering for WDRMJ at the time didn't have a game. So I said, I told John, I said, "Hey, I want to travel across, go to the game today." So I got to drive across. Clifton Central's a long way across the state. So it was Coach Breeden, Chuck Lawson, me, and John Hoshite in the car for like 8 wow. hours. And I love that. It was such an enjoyable, and I don't remember anything about the game that day other than it was a long trip. And I just think about like the memories of like doing this job, and those are some of the memories. And then about relationships, this is what I love about, you know, knowing Coach Cook for 30 years, or, you know, developing a friendship. I know like I can think of three things right off the top of my head. I know Jackie Robinson is his most favorite athlete ever, right? Mm-hmm. I know one of his dreams came true this year. He got to see the Chicago Symphony Orchestra in person. Yeah. Right. And then the other really thing I love about Coach Cook, and this is just like a connection between him and I, is like Turner Classic Movies, TCM. I'll always say randomly, like if something is on, I'll say, "Oh, I'm going to call Coach Cook up and see if," like, for example, I was thinking like Natalie Wood and Warren Beatty and Splendor in the Grass. I'm like, "Hey, man, that movie's on today." "Oh, yeah, man, I love that movie." And that'll tell me about some other movie. So that, right?
Yeah.
So I know that's like what being a friend is about, and having love and appreciation.
Couldn't agree somebody. More, Jim.
So that's why I wanted to tell Coach Breeden and Coach Cook that has impacted my life.
Just let me say here before, if I hadn't been asked to coach baseball at Rock Ridge, I wouldn't have met any of you guys. You know, and you've all become really good friends, and it means the world to me. And it was really late in my life, but the good Lord, you know, I was a pretty good baseball pitcher, and I hurt my arm, and I've always felt bad about that, because I'd like to have seen how far I could have gone, because I was being scouted when I was 16, you know. But I hurt my arm, so that went out the window, and I've always felt bad about that. But my daughter told me one day, she says, "You know, Dad, if it wasn't for that, you wouldn't have got to coach the boys that you did get to coach." And so, you know, you can question the good Lord, but he's got a plan, and it always works out for the best if you just let those things happen. I wanted to, how much time?
Yeah. As much as you want.
I want to go, this will be my last story, promise. I had a pitcher a few years ago that was a troublemaker. He was in high school, but he was a great pitcher. So at the end of the year, there was an all, and so I went to our football coach, because he was a good athlete. I went to our football coach at that time, and I said, "You need this kid on the football team." He says, "We don't need him. He's a trouble." I said, "No, you don't need him. He needs you." I told him that.
That's perfect.
And so, anyway, So the baseball season, I mean, he was off the charts. He was he really a good pitcher. So at the end of the year, they had the Illinois-Iowa All-Star Game, and they had it over at Modern Woodman Park. So this kid was going to be the starting pitcher for the Illinois team. And that included Rock Island, Moline, all the senior kids. So there was a little baby lost, a 2-year-old little baby lost over by preemption. And so this pitcher, he was a volunteer fireman also as a high school kid.
Wow.
He goes over to preemption to help look for this kid. So I called him and I said, you know, you're pitching the first game tonight. He said, I'm not coming until we find the baby. Now, everybody told me what an ornery kid this was. I knew this kid's heart. This kid had a great heart. And anyway, so 5 minutes before the game starts, he shows up, throws maybe 10 pitches down the bullpen, goes out, throws a one hitter. Anyway, but I've always thought that about this. You never know. If you give up on, you can't give up on kids. You cannot give up on them. That's my opinion. And I understand that you can't let them have their say and ruin the rest of the team. I know that. But you, at the same time, you try. That's that baseball team I was telling about. If I'd have kicked everybody out, we wouldn't have anybody left. And that's one of the best teams ever. But that's my story there. So go ahead, well, Coach.
To go along with that, we had a football player. If I said his name, I'm not going to. And same thing. Just honor and sin. I gave a talk one time to a group here in town, and I did mention his name during that talk. And they go, well, how can you? I mean, that kid's a troublemaker. I mean, he's trouble. Well, when he was young in high school, he got in trouble. And but that's all they could ever remember him for, was that the time he got in trouble. And I told him, and I said, we never have any trouble with that kid, ever. He does everything we ask him and more. We never have trouble. But how many people had already branded him because of what he did when he was a young kid? Okay. And oh my gosh, that happens. But that kid, and this is the same kid. I'm sorry, I got to tell the other part of this story.
We go ahead, man.
this kid in football was a killer. You can't even use that word today, I guess. But he would just hit you. Oh my word, this kid was tough. Well, at school, in between classes, you know, you go out in the hallway just to keep peace. 4 or 5 times a day, he would walk by my classroom on his way to class. He didn't need to come that way, okay? But he came by just so he could poke me, I could poke him, I'd rough his hair up, I'd mess with him. I'd even get him in a headlock once in a while. And then if I could not go out there because I was giving somebody homework, they needed help or whatever, I could guarantee that he would be in the lobby by the trophy cases waiting for me after school. And I would go by, and he goes, what's wrong? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, well, there's something wrong. And I would go, no. He goes, you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? You didn't talk to me today. And he was serious. He was messing around. This is a kid that's tough. He was good. He was tough. But he needed that every day. He needed that. It was just basically just messing around. But there were a lot of people in town that already labeled him as a bad kid or a troublemaker because he got in trouble. When in reality, this kid was really a sensitive kid and a good guy. And today, as an adult, oh my goodness. So to go along with what you said about the pitcher, you know, in the end, look at the goodness he had in his heart. And this kid he volunteers for everything he does, but you never know.
I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm a true believer for youth getting some multiple chances sometimes. And I think it's very true what being a part of something means. And it doesn't have to necessarily be interscholastic athletics. It can be the arts, right? It can be something that they're a part of. And you said it, you don't need him or her. He or she needs you.
That's right.
Perfectly and more said. Coaches need follow that lesson sometimes. And I think we as a community sometimes need to follow that a little bit more too, because there are certain circumstances. Well, I can think of an example right now at one of the area schools where maybe a youngster's having a problem and some believe, well, they've been given enough opportunity, cast them off. And I'm like, they're 14 or 15 years old. And if they get on the right path, and that right path, one of the main ways is being a part of something, and interscholastic athletics is a part of it. Make sure you make every effort to make sure that kid is part of that. And then I think they have a better chance to have success in other endeavors. I think that is a true line that more people need to follow.
Well, Jim, you said something very important. That is, I just enjoy, Glenn, I just enjoy people's ability. And like you mentioned, one of the things you wanted to do was listen to the Phil Homeric.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no musical ability. And when Rusty Ruggles brings his band or whatever out and I watch them perform, I just go, holy moly.
It's the same thing, Bill. The same thing applies to Rusty Ruggles as it does to coaching.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
that's all right. I just watch him. Like you said, you watch his,
yep.
and just the way he handles kids. And I appreciate, here's a kid playing a trumpet. Here's a kid playing a tuba. I can't do that. And I marvel at the fact that they're making the effort, they make the time, and they're part of it. That's amazing.
Well, and then you get a perfect example about coach, I'll call him Coach. He's like, yeah, I'm a coach for Rusty Ruggles, but... I saw somebody shared, and I think it was Morgan Brott posted it, his daughter Claire playing the drums in the pep band the other night. And sometimes you forget about the talent that's available in these schools. And I'm like, holy smokes, that kid plays the drums that way. And we take for granted, but that's why. And Coach Cook says it all the time. And that's the truth, because he always, you know, drops his age every time. I'm 87, you know. But I'm
84.
I know. I'm 57 years old. And I'm like, so when you go and see the joy that kids have in terms of whatever they're doing and the talent that they're showing. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about sports, because I love the music program at Mercer County and the things that go on there. And to recognize the talent and the pure joy of that and being around it.
That's, oh my gosh. Yeah.
Because that's when you say, is the glass, whether they say half full or half empty. It's always half full with the kids, because they have excitement and the thrill of their life of being part of something like that.
You know, yesterday, what's today? Saturday. Yeah, yesterday morning, I got a couple dozen donuts from Old Town Bakery, which they're glazed donuts. Have you ever had them?
Oh, they're Coach, the best. Here's the deal with that. Okay, I've heard you talk about them before, and you haven't given me one yet.
You know what? Next time. Anyway, I took them out to school, and I gave them around. Well, I went to the band room, and they're having their little Christmas thing, and the band's sitting in a big circle in the band room. So I sang a song to him.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Really? I brought a little girl up and sang to
her. Forgot your trumpet,
her.
Though.
What's that?
I said you forgot your trumpet, though.
Yeah, I should have brought my trumpet. But anyway, but I baseball is my passion. Baseball is my passion, but I love music. I don't know what this world would be without music, so, yeah.
Jim...
There's an issue with Coach Breed's mic. I don't know if you hear that weird, like, buzzing. I don't know what the issue is with that. Let me see if I can reset it real quick, or maybe. Yeah, no, I don't know what the issue is. So anyway, if you want to, yeah, you can swing that mic around. If Coach Breed's got something to say, he can talk into that one. So,
well,
all right.
Jim, it's like you said. This has been 2 months ago now. I went out to McDonald's, walked in. I don't, and these three guys walk in, high school kids behind me. And they've got on FFA jackets, okay? And it was during the middle of the day. And I turned around and I said, holy cow, what are you guys doing? And you could see they got things listed on their thing. And all three of them were state officers, okay, in the FFA. And I'm going, these guys are they're the real deal, you know? And so I asked the one kid, I go, where are you from? And he goes, Olney, Illinois.
And I said, "White squirrels." And he goes, "Yeah, we got a problem. We count them every year, and last year was 200, and this year was 80. And I went, "Holy moly." Well, then the next kid, I go, "Where are you from?" And he goes, "Rova." And I go, "Oh, okay." Well, and I said, "Hey, do you know a kid, so-and-so?" And because he's my nephew's son. And he goes, "Oh, yeah, I know him." And I went, "I better not go any further with that one." So then I asked the third kid. Well, he was from Rock Ridge. And so I turned around and I ordered and I gave him some money and I said, "Buy those guys lunch." Well, then a month later, the kid from Rova, I met his mother. As a habit, you know, just, yeah. But here they are. This has nothing to do with music, has nothing to do with sports, but here are these guys, they're state officers. And these guys, I was impressed. I mean, the way they carry themselves, the way they, the way they verbalize themselves, they were pretty impressive folks. But not only on baseball field or the wrestling mat or the football field, just kids in general. And here are these three guys, and they were just impressive people. They really were.
All right, you got anything else you want to say? Or
nope, just appreciate the relationship and you coming in every year and crossing paths, and you don't have to come on the air to speak with us. That's always great when we see you wherever, you know, come in the station or we see you at Rock Ridge. We always love seeing you, and we're glad this is a tradition, and we'll do it again next year.
That's awesome. Thanks a lot for asking us. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Ty, Jim, thank you for the opportunity to come. And just like Glenn just said, Merry Christmas to everybody, and God bless.
All right, and then we'll have another four-hour discussion off the air coming up if you want to stop by the WRMJ studios. But for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor saying Merry Christmas, everyone.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business by 6140 Running Galesburg. Your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merritt Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.